Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with a veteran investigative reporter specializing in national security issues, James Bamford, the author of The Shadow Factory, Inside the Ultra-Secret NSA, From 9/11 to Spying on America. We'll discuss the DOJ's snooping on the AP and the implications it has for journalists trying to uncover government secrets, and how, more often than not, when government lies are not uncovered, we end up with disasters like Iraq. Then we will speak with the Academy Award-nominated director of The Invisible War, Kirby Dick, about how his documentary, as an example of advocacy journalism, has had a profound effect on uncovering the epidemic of sexual assault in the military, revelations that just last week were vindicated by a Pentagon report that estimated 26,000 sex crimes took place last year in the armed forces, a number that is likely to be much lower than the actual number of assaults because so few are reported because of fear of retaliation, where the victim is often blamed. Then finally, we will look into the Republican attempts at immigration reform that are driven by their fear that demographics will make them a permanent minority party unless they appeal to the fast-growing Latino constituency. Molly Worthen, a professor of history at the University of North Carolina, who has an article in Sunday's New York Times, Love Thy Stranger as Thyself, joins us to discuss how the Christian right is trying to embrace immigration reform within a party in which a majority of Republicans stigmatize Latinos as being a burden, taking jobs, housing, and health care from white Americans. Joining us now is James Bamford, an investigative journalist specializing in national security issues. He was a Washington investigative reporter for ABC's World News Tonight and is the author of the best-selling books Body of Secrets, The Puzzle Palace, A Pretext for War, 9/11, Iraq, and the Abuse of American Intelligence Agencies, and The Shadow Factory, Inside the Ultra-Secret NSA, From 9/11 to Spying on America. Welcome to Background Briefing, James Bamford.
Thanks, Ian. I appreciate it.
And this breaking story now that has led to two press conferences today, one by the White House spokesman and one by Eric Holder, the Attorney General, both on the defensive about the Department of Justice snooping on the Associated Press in an unprecedented way. For somebody that's been trying to pry secrets out of the government, how does this strike you?
Well, it's very worrying, and the nature of my business is developing people who will tell me what's going on behind the scenes, because you get very little most of the time through the front door, through the public affairs people. So developing people that can tell you what's really happening as opposed to the public relations end of the business is very important. And anytime something like this happens, it obviously has a very chilling effect on people who might want to come forward, people who might want to talk to you about bad things that are going on. I mean, if you remember, the only way we ever found out about the warrantless eavesdropping program that was virtually everybody acknowledged was illegal at the time was through a leak, through a whistleblower who felt what was going on was illegal and told the story. Otherwise, that program may still be going on. I mean, you have the war in Iraq. So many of the problems that happened there was because the press didn't do its job. It didn't do a very good job of sifting out what we were doing at the time. Instead, they were saluting the flag and pretty much putting out whatever the administration wanted to. So it's very important to find out what's really going on, and the only way you can do that is by getting people to talk to you off the record. On background.
And the Attorney General today, Eric Holder, in his statement to the press, said that the leaks that's being investigated that led to the DOJ to snoop on the AP on 20 separate phones of reporters and editors, which the AP are absolutely outraged about. He said that he recused himself from that decision. But he went on to say that the investigation into this leak was one of the most serious he's ever seen. It put the American people at risk, and that's not hyperbole. It put the American people at risk, and finding who was responsible for that required very aggressive action. So this is the part of it that I don't know that the public understands, and it seems that the press ultimately are getting beaten up on and compromised because the government wants to find out who amongst their ranks is talking out of school. Isn't that what's at play here?
Well, it is, and you also have to take into consideration they're saying sort of Chicken Little, the sky is falling, and that's why we had to do it. But you have to also take into consideration that this is the administration that's gone further than any other administration in United States history in going after the press, going after leaks. They're taking four, I think at this point it's been six cases now. They've brought people to prosecute, prosecuted six people for leaks. That's I think all the rest together before that was two times people were prosecuted, and this is three times that number. So it's an administration that has really taken this issue on and decided that they're going to go after the press. So every time they come out with this, they say this is the worst thing that we've ever seen and we have to do it. Let me give you one example of probably the worst example of this whole thing was when they prosecuted Thomas Drake. He was a senior NSA official at the time, and they prosecuted him for leaking some information about a program known as Trailblazer. It was far over budget, and he leaked some information that had to do with the cost overruns and that kind of thing on that program. Well, the NSA and the Obama administration prosecuted him for five counts of espionage. That was incredible, five counts of espionage for that. I was on the defense team, and we were able to show that every piece of information they alleged he had compromised, that they alleged was top secret or whatever, was not classified at all, was unclassified. So when it came to the final decision in the court, the prosecutor, before we even went to trial, decided to throw the whole case out. Drake basically just agreed to plead to a misdemeanor for abusing his computer, which was no jail time and no fine. And in the end, the judge yelled, not at the defendant, he yelled at the prosecutor and the NSA for taking the case to court in the first place and putting this person through hell for 4 years. And the judge, who was a Bush appointee, said that the case didn't pass the smell test. So we have, and again, they were arguing in that case that this was terrible leaks, that this was, he deserves to go to jail for 35 years for espionage. And when it came down to it, there was nothing to it. So you have to understand that the administration always comes out swinging, and it's very hard to know what they're talking about because they're the ones who are holding the cards close to their vest. They're the only ones that can see it. So whether this was as terrible as you're saying, nobody really knows.
Well, in fact, Thomas Drake was actually trying to save the taxpayer from being ripped off by a boondoggle program that was being defended by the great American patriot who ended up running the CIA. And all of these great American patriots that end up running the NSA and then the CIA, they, of course, are quickly into the revolving door making money from these Beltway bandits and in terms of being on the board of these military contractors. I mean, look at the first head of Homeland Security now. He's selling scanning machines at airports, you know. I mean, it's a racket. And this guy was being a patriot, Thomas Drake, wasn't he?
Well, sure. He told the public what they needed to know. What the government wasn't telling him was that they were wasting enormous amounts of money on the program. And in addition to that, he was saying that the program that the government ended up using was a serious threat to privacy and possibly illegal. And he didn't discuss the warrantless eavesdropping program at the time because it was classified, and he didn't reveal that. But that was, and it hadn't been revealed at that time, but that was what he was alluding to by saying that the administration had decided and the NSA had decided to use this program that was possibly illegal and definitely a threat to privacy. So you really need these people because the government is not going to tell you these things, and It's not as though the world is coming to an end when they you get a leak like this. Most of the time, it prevents bad things from happening. John Kennedy once said that he wished somebody had leaked the Bay of Pigs operation before it happened, and then he might not have gone ahead with launching the program, which turned out to be a disaster.
Again, I'm speaking with James Bamford, an investigative journalist specializing in national security issues. He was a Washington investigative reporter for ABC's World News Tonight and is the author of the best-selling books Body of Secrets, The Puzzle Palace, A Pretext for War, 9/11 Iraq and the Abuse of American Intelligence Agencies, and The Shadow Factory, Inside the Ultra-Secret NSA from 9/11 to Spying on America. And I certainly sympathize with the world that you're in, and in what you mentioned in the beginning, James, about that this case of the Department of Justice snooping on the Associated Press gets to the heart of what investigative journalists are trying to do in terms of uncovering the secrets that are kept from the American people by the American government. You know, I get accused here at Pacifica of being a CIA agent just because I interview former CIA people and other State Department intelligence people and others for the same reasons that you talk to these people, is that it's useless talking to anybody that's in government. All you'd hear is what the public relations angle is. And the only way you find out what's going on is by talking to people who have the knowledge and are willing to take a chance and go public. So I know that your work is far more serious in many ways than a bunch of know-nothings on the left are getting on my case. But it still strikes me as depressing that there are people out there that don't understand that there are people trying to work on behalf of taxpayers to expose government secrets, and you know, they should be lauded for what they do.
Well, and it's very rare that that happens. When I did my book, my first book, The Puzzle Palace, NSA twice threatened me with prosecution. Even though I never worked for the agency, it was just the fact that I was writing about the agency that they wanted to prosecute me for. So there are people in the U.S. that really have a misunderstanding of how this country differed from countries like the Soviet Union back in the Cold War days, when the government could control the press, and you see what happened to the Soviet Union. It disappeared. So I think a free press is a press that doesn't have the type of activity that's been going on. I mean, prosecuting six people in basically a four-year period. And then in this case here, they went after not just one person, but they basically put the entire or a large portion of the AP, which is the largest wire service in the country, one of the largest news organizations in the country, under surveillance for 2 months. They watched every, or they had records of every single phone call that they made, who was calling them and who they were calling, and who was faxing them and so forth. So yeah, that definitely puts a large chill when somebody's doing this type of work. It's one of the reasons I never phone people on the telephone. I've never done an interview on the telephone. Meet people outside and then different places, and then I do my interviews in private. I don't do it over the telephone, so to avoid this same problem. And I think that's a big problem for journalists, is that the logistics gets very difficult when you have to meet people away from telephones and emails and everything else.
Well, it's part of it, though, that I don't understand. I mean, I understand, but I think it's so insane in a way, and it's so counterproductive and counterintuitive. And it reminds me of one of the founding fathers, Ben Franklin's adage that he who would trade liberty for temporary security deserves neither. The idea that you would go after the First Amendment, you would eviscerate one of the most important parts of the Bill of Rights in order to find out who in your ranks in the government was leaking to a reporter. So you compromise the press in order to do your own police work. And it's the equivalent of the police, instead of going after a thief, they go after the person who unwittingly receives stolen property. I mean, is that an analogy that makes sense to you?
Well, sure. Yeah, it does. It's it's a very good analogy. And again, also the one of the points that really has to be made when you get these administration people talking about the dangers of these leaks and so forth. Very few people speak on the other side about the dangers of not having some of these leaks. As I mentioned earlier, if we'd had more leaks about what the administration was lying about, the deceptions prior to the war in Iraq, the fact that there was no, they were making up most of this information about the weapons of mass destruction and about information coming out of Niger that the Iraqis are going after nuclear materials and things like that. All this turned out to be lies and fraud. And if we'd had more aggressive investigative reporting before the war, maybe we wouldn't have had the war. Maybe there would have been enough momentum within the country to repel against the administration when they were wanting to ramp up to this war. So I think we need more investigative reporting, hard-hitting investigative reporting, getting information what's really going on. And most news organizations are very careful. AP, for example, the story we're talking about on AP had to do with a case in Yemen where the U.S. had discovered a bomb that was going to be planted on a cargo plane in a copy machine, basically. And it discovered it and deactivated it or whatever and was examining the copy machine with what was put in it. And before they ran that story, the AP checked with the administration, and the administration asked them to hold off on the story, and they did hold off on the story until the administration said, okay, now you can release it. So the impression that they give is that this was just willy-nilly. They just decided that they were going to run with the story. It wasn't. It was carefully orchestrated with the government. And even though they did that, the administration still came after them. And began looking for leaks, even though they cooperated with the administration. So this really is unprecedented, the extent that they're going to at this point.
Well, they've been on this case. The government has been pursuing the leaker since May 7th of 2012 when the story came out. And as you just pointed out, the AP held it up at the request of the White House and released it when the White House said it was okay. So the idea that John Brennan in his Senate testimony said that this did terrible danger, there was an IED out there and we didn't want the bad guys to know we had it and we knew about it, that sounds like, from what you've just told us, is a bogus. And that the FBI, in fact, interviewed Brennan himself. They thought that he may have been the leaker. So again, you've got this government witch hunt going on within their own ranks to find out who amongst them are talking out of school. It's their problem, not our problem. That's the point I would make.
Well, yeah, that's true. And one other point that I think is important to make is that the what a lot of people out there see is information that comes out of the administration where they sort of assume this is sort of inside information. I won't mention any names, but there's some books out there that come out, and they're basically written by government stenographers almost. These are authors and writers, journalists who walk into the White House and they hand them whatever they want, knowing that they're going to get favorable treatment. So they'll go to somebody like Brennan, and Brennan will say, well, let me tell you about this and let me tell you about that. And because they know that the person is going to write something favorable about it. It's called silver platter journalism, where you just walk in and they hand you things on a silver platter. And that happens all the time. So the administration, a lot of times, that's information that they would have considered classified if somebody got it through the back door, but because they hand it to somebody on a silver plate through the front door, that's fine, because it's going to make the administration look good. And you see that happening all the time whenever there's an episode like the capture of bin Laden or whatever. They pump out all this favorable, you know, information about how great we did on this job and so forth, because it's going to make them look good. And then if something's going to make them look bad, then they'll go out and prosecute somebody. So they try to have it both ways.
Well, just in closing, James Bamford, what does this say about the future and fate of the Attorney General Holder? He said that he recused himself, but on the other hand, I don't think he has much of a leg to stand on if he's saying that this is a terrible crime and I'm going after it with the full resources of the U.S. government. Why the hell didn't he do that about Wall Street? I mean, PBS's Frontline did an expose on Lanny Brewer, the Justice Department official in charge of prosecuting Wall Street, made it clear, Lanny Brewer, in the interviews, that he was double-talking. And then, of course, ultimately, we find out that he's working for Wall Street through the revolving door. So it feels like the fix was in at the DOJ. We weren't going to go after any of the banksters. So why are they going after leakers and not banksters? I mean, what kind of public credibility does Holder have?
Well, and if they want to go after people, they go after tremendous amounts of fraud in the contractor community. There were so many bogus contracts that went out because of the war in Iraq and the war on terror and so forth. Billions of dollars that were wasted on that. But they've never gone after any of that. There are many areas that they could pursue that would be very useful and legitimate, but administrations, when they come into office, they secrecy is number one, and in this administration, it's become obsessive almost. So I don't know. And Attorney General Holder recused himself on this, but he was the Attorney General who went forward on the Drake case. I think the Deputy Attorney General was pretty much just doing what he felt that Holder would have wanted him to do.
Well, James Bamford, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
I appreciate it. Great being on your show.
And again, I've been speaking with James Bamford, an investigative journalist specializing in national security issues. He was the Washington investigative reporter for ABC's World News Tonight and is the author of the best-selling books Body of Secrets, The Puzzle Palace, A Pretext for War, 9/11 Iraq and the Abuse of American Intelligence Agencies, and The Shadow Factory, Inside the Ultra-Secret NSA from 9/11 to Spying on America. We're going to take a brief station break. We're back talking with the Academy Award-nominated director of The Invisible War, a groundbreaking documentary that has been vindicated by a recent report from the Pentagon estimating that there were 26,000 sex crimes took place in the military last year.